The fate of several evangelical Christians is still unknown after a series of arrests over Christmas in Iran. In the early hours of Christmas Day, the Iranian government arrested 25 Christians. 50 other Christians have been detained, but it is unclear as yet what the full details are surrounding their cases. They include pastors and leaders from within the house church networks of Iran. Of the 25 detained, 11 have been released. This was the second year running that security services in Iran had targeted Christians over the Christmas period. FLUR is Christian Solidarity Worldwide's Middle East and North Africa advocacy officer. She told Charles Collins more about the story.
In the early hours of Christmas Day, the Iranian government made swoops on individuals' houses. They arrested up to 70 believers and apparently wanted to target 16 others. Those individuals had actually been pre-warned and had fled, so were not found at home. If so, the number may have been greater. Of the 70 Christians arrested, 25 we've identified and know who they are and from what house church networks. The 50 others, unfortunately, have not made contact and their identities are unknown. But we are fairly confident that's a good approximation of how many were being held. In the past few weeks since then, 11 of the believers have definitely been released. 14 we know are definitely still being held. The other 50 are sort of questionable. We're uncertain of how many are still being held inside prison in Iran.
These believers were from evangelical faiths. There is a small Christian community in Iran, yet that has a limited amount of religious freedom, at least the freedom of worship. However, evangelicals don't usually benefit from this, do they?
No, exactly. So out of a population of about 67 million in Iran, the Washington State Department estimate there are about 300,000 Christians. These are typically from Orthodox settings or more formally established churches, ones with ancient history, so such as the Armenians. Now, the evangelicals are mostly converts. They were former Shia Muslims. They might be second-gen or third-generation converts, but they certainly have that lineage and that heritage. So quite often they're picked up and they might be put on charges of apostasy. Apostasy is when you convert out of Islam, and it can face you can face the death penalty if you're a male for conversion. They're also frequently charged with sort of threatening state unity and given links to espionage. And it's very interesting because in this latest case, the governor of Tehran, in a speech on the 4th of January, described the Christians, likened them unto parasites, and said that just like the Taliban had initiated a movement within Islam, so too these particular evangelical Christians were doing the same in the name of Christianity. So there's a real suspicion against them that they are some form of heretical sect. And in fact, that, you know, they are evangelical Christians and perfectly legitimate and part of the worldwide church. And that's why we really must stand in solidarity with them at the moment and really sort of hold Iran to account and say, if any of our numbers suffer, we suffer with them. So, yeah, they're incredibly vulnerable because of that issue of conversion and because they are very open in their faith. And part of their mandate is to continue to share the gospel and to do as Jesus did. And therefore, they run into increased problems with the state for converting members of the Shia and other parts of the Persian community.
You mentioned this, that they're open about their faith, that they do have, at least in the last few generations, a Muslim background. Can you tell us exactly how do they worship? How do they connect? How do they get together? How open can an evangelical be in Iran?
Yeah, so not open at all. They don't have formal churches. Now, there used to be the Assemblies of God Church in Tehran. It still exists and it still is able to have some services. In general, though, I think people are vetted, and if they have an Armenian background, they might be left untroubled. But in general, even members of a community like that with quite an established church are very vulnerable. And we have many cases of individuals who fled to neighboring countries like Turkey and Syria. But the Assemblies Assemblies of God actually had its main Friday service shut down about a year ago. In general, the trend is that they meet the believers in house churches. So these might be groups of sort of 10 to 12 believers. There might be numerous house groups within one particular city. They're often coordinated perhaps by a few leaders who will know all the members. But in general, members may not even know about one another. So you might have 7 or even 10 little house churches in one city, but the believers might not be aware of each other. And the details of their services will only be circulated amongst 10 to 12 of them. So I suppose you could think of it more as an underground church and meeting to worship and to hold, you know, Bible studies and to receive sermons and teaching. But it's very, very underground and secretive. And I think that's what's so concerning in this case. Certainly the 14 individuals who we know are definitely being held, you know, they are leaders within this church. They are individuals with significant amounts of knowledge about the church and believers within Iran, probably about Muslim converts who've not even declared their faith, who were practicing in secret. So they will be being brutally interrogated at this time by the government in order to find out who else form part of the Christian faith, who has converted, what their activities are. And, you know, the extent of state torture is very severe. I mean, I've worked on cases where individuals have been kept in solitary confinement, sleep deprived. I have one case of a man who's kept in a box and locked inside in prison and had to witness a juvenile execution as a form of torture. The use of electric batons, that sort of thing, to extract information, to disorientate and to punish those who've turned away from Islam is common. I should probably add that one of the most unpleasant parts of this latest story is the link with the United Kingdom. So the governor of Tehran came out very publicly in media, which is a new marked sort of audacity on the part of the regime to speak up against house churches, and said that most of these house churches were functioning as a result of Western and particularly funding from the UK. And as a result, they automatically are put in that same bracket of being linked to espionage, or and somehow that the UK has got a political angle. And that's been incredibly dangerous for the believers, and it's completely untrue, and threatens all Christians, really. And Ayatollah Khamenei came out in October in one of his big religious speeches of the year in the city of Qom, and said the likened house churches to heretical sects, and basically gave the green light for their persecution. So many were unsurprised that the security services did such a crackdown in the wake of that speech. And over Christmas time, about 40 believers were picked up last Christmas. So it's a day when the Iranian regime know that the West is on holiday and not at their desks. And it's just particularly sad for these individuals.